All right, what's going on, gang? This is the first installment of the Mean Old Negro Man weekly program. And some folks may already be familiar. Yes, it says William J. Jackson. I've been over here hanging out with these folks over at Americans United again. I've had the Wine Cellar podcast, Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, since 2012. I've been on the Breakbeat on the Barbershop, Ferguson Response Network. I did an episode of the Pennyman program, you know, and you know, I've been around, and so it's like, why another program, right? Like, you already have the Wine Cellar, Social Justice Bullies, Secular TV Saturdays, right? Oh, why another program? Well, a lot of those, they got away from me, which that's fine. That's what I want them to do, right? I want things to grow on themselves, right? Like you you have to conceive of it, give birth to it, you know, and then nurture, take care of. And then, I mean, once it can make a sandwich and wipe its own ass, well, send it out into the world and watch it grow. Like, yeah, I sit there and produce the Wine Cellar, but the Wine Cellar podcast makes itself. So now I'm making the Mean Old Negro Man program, right? A new baby, a new favorite. Maybe a new middle child. Maybe another baby will come after this, and the Mean Old Negro Man will become the angry middle child, which thus will make it a mean show, right? Wouldn't it? All right, so we'll go ahead and do this. Hopefully we can get one of the homie locos on the program on short notice, because what I want to do is a beginning part of the program. Like, the first half will just be just me doing my gosh darn thing, and then the second half can be a interview conversation sort of style situation with one other person. At times, as we move on with more episodes of this program, like maybe two or three people will be on at one time, but I'm looking for the one-on-one, right? Like just me and another person shooting Vine shit. So this one is the jump to conclusions episode. Like, let's jump straight to the conclusions that I've already arrived at, and then as we go on to other episodes, I'll show you how I arrived at those conclusions. Like, if you see me interacting with folks in the social networks, like when somebody just makes a statement in a very matter-of-fact way and I disagree or I don't understand it. Sometimes I legitimately just don't understand what they're getting at. I'll ask them, how did you arrive at that conclusion? And if the person is just speaking platitudes or bumper sticker rhetoric that they've already heard someone else say and they liked how it hit their ear, then they usually won't respond, or they'll, you know, sort of back out of the conversation smoothly. And so with this one, I'll hit you with the conclusions, and then we will spend the episodes following this one talking about how we arrived at those conclusions. All right. And apparently, as I look on my windowsill, I opened my window, and there's just a lizard decided to come up out of the bushes and hang out on my windowsill. This is what it's like being in Florida, folks. All right, let's get into the Mean Old Negro Man.
It was a jump to conclusions math. You see, it would be this math that you would put on the floor and would have different conclusions written on it that you could jump to.
Yeah. That Mean Old Negro Man.
You know, I've always liked it better this way.
That Mean Old Negro Man hollered at me.
I mean, really, this is much better than what's going on currently.
All right.
We're glad you like black people. So do we.
Yeah. Now, if I catch you slipping, I'ma touch you, teach you, treat you to them south side knuckles, beat you, leave you smelling foul like fucked up fecal, mad about the bladder of a bunch of people, splattered out and scattered, it's a hustle, sequel, ill to the man that in my squad is lethal, villainous at it, it's a hilltop feature, real cinematic with a thrill plot sequence, killing sporadic, goodness gracious, my face is known, but it looks like the fakers will take the throne with no perception of the place I've shown. They know the section but to face my home. And no, this, that, and the other. Alright, mean old Negro man jumping to conclusions. Alright, so one of the first conclusions that I had to jump to came from just like talking to an older person in their early 50s at the time, and this was in 2013, and they were like, what the fuck, like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, I'm making a podcast, man. I'm tackling the issues, I'm breaking down the stuff, you know, the stuff and the things, you know, like, I had that energy. And they're like, can you type up a mission statement or something? They're like, the name of your show is Father Teresa's Wine Cellar. So off top, you're offending people and driving. Like, nobody wants to click on that shit. What the fuck is that? And I was like, damn, do I need a mission statement? Do I need, like, a specific, like, a plan of action? This is what I'm doing with this program. And so I sat down and tried to do that. Because I was like, okay, well, that's what OG is saying. So I'm going to follow what OG is talking about there. All right. So, and it ended up being pretty short, right? Like, I mean, you know, like about one paragraph, but it was ultimately, I'm just trying to contribute to making the world a little less stupid. And that's the most honest and realistic thing that a lot of us are really doing in the free market of ideas. People who research, journalists, investigative journalists, interviewers, like, we're just trying to make the world a little less stupid. We know we are up against well-funded propaganda that is against people being informed, that's against people being aware. So we're just fighting that. Like, my little 4,000 downloads and change a month, it's just fighting just a little bit to making the world a little less stupid. And a little less stupid before what? Well, before ultimately climate change catches up with us. Like, that's one thing folks that have already been familiar with my content know that I say, that I point out. Like when there's a real serious social issue, I'm like, all right, well, climate change is going to catch up to us before we get our shit in order on that one. Right? Like, racism, sexism, classism, capitalism is a big problem that's gonna be the thing that brings us to climate change catching up with us. That's what's been bringing us here. And people like their positions in capitalism. Like, even if they would like a higher position, they're like, yeah, but, you know, I'm in management above someone else, right? I have a shiny car. I got a nice size television set. Yeah, but yeah, ever stop and really look at the shit. Like, really look at what we're doing moment to moment. I mean, hell, like right now, like I'm burning a lithium battery that was dug up by child slave labor to run the laptop and run the tablet, doing show prep and working on the show. What, I have all these items plugged into a wall where coal got dug up, maybe blasted off the side of a mountain in West Virginia. You know, in the sacrifice zone, people are breathing in coal ash, and coal ash is getting dumped in clean water so that I can run this electricity to bring you this information. Like, people are dying, and the only planet that can sustain this species that we're on right now is being damaged and fucked up, and resources are being utterly destroyed for multiple generations just so that I can produce this episode for you to hear. All right? Like, that's going on. I mean, just step outside. Like, if you're in, like, the city, like, if you're in one of those areas where it's, like a three-lane road, you know, and there's like a three-lane road, right? There's a turn lane in the middle, and there's two turn lanes on the side, right? Like, what's that, like fucking 9 lanes? Jesus Christ. And look at all of them full of vehicles, all burning oil, all burning gas, they all have a battery in them that's going to end up in a dump, right? And where are all these vehicles going to end up? Those are going to end up in dumps. I'm not going to reuse that metal. Shit's going to be scrapped. Like, a little bit of it will be reused, but for the most part, garbage. Like, you see a whole bunch of garbage burning fuels in the air, thousands of them, stand on one road from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. We're not even talking about 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., right? And the full 24-hour period, they're all burning. Then take a look around. Look at all the lights that are on, right? Look at all the electricity being used, moment to moment, second to second. So no, we're not, like, say what you want. Like, they had that shit over there in France. They're not really combating climate change. They're not going to beat climate change. We've passed the point of no return. It's over, man. Game over, man. Right? We're not going to fucking win. All right. So that is a conclusion I've arrived at. Now, there are like real science people, right, that have that they've gotten the field and they've done the work and they have their big fancy degrees and they have their laboratories and they have their expensive equipment that they use to figure these things out. So really, I'm just telling you what the brilliant people said from what they researched. I'm not one of the brilliant people, you know, and fuck it, shoot the messenger. I'm black, right? You'll get off. So fucking feel free, shoot the fucking messenger. All right, so there are more conclusions that I've arrived at. Let's dance it forward.
That mean old Negro man got sassy at the drive-thru.
You see, the life that I have is pain, but I was chosen to live. Before you judge what's in the canister, just open the lid. My mother lost her life when I was a fatherless teen. Over a decade later, I finally see it's not just a dream. It put me up on game, I took for all it was worth. And I vow to tell it all before I fall on this earth. I will not go before my story is wrote, before it's written and told. And you know what, I'm spitting this into joke. I live in this cold world full of pigeons and crows, chickens and vultures that love to sit and pick at our souls. This venomous culture, opening our deepest of secrets, the end of it's closer. Most of us can breathe and release it, the finish is frozen. Poetry can teach us to preach it with Genesis quoted. Hopefully my people can see it, reminisce most of the soldiers that our streets have deleted. Peers peep the tears dripping down my cheek and I leave it here. Another conclusion, right? And that's a little old rhyme I did. There's two verses to that. It's called Boys Don't Cry. Yeah, I should put that in the exclusive content. Patreon.com, Wine Cellar Entertainment. Sign up. $5 a month level. You'll get to hear that whole shit. Let's see. So, and the remix, right? And so something I mentioned in there, like, I was a fatherless teen. And, like, just something else. Like, you look at the, you look at what folks say. Like, I was just looking at some homophobic black folks, like, I guess they call themselves like the straight black pride movement, and they're so similar to white Christians while they're tackling white supremacy, right? Logic. And they tend to put these ideas forward that, like, you have to have a mother and a father, children will do much better with a mother and a father. Bullshit, whether it's the white Christians or the white Mormons or the white Catholics saying it, or the straight black pride, or black Muslims or black 5%ers, or, you know, Hispanic Catholics, or anybody, any of these niggas out here talking about they gotta have a two-parent household, mother and father. And I mean, and this isn't just about, like, marriage equality, right? Or like, or same-sex couples adopting offspring, adopting children, adopting babies, teenagers, and whatnot. And it's not just about that, right? Young people need trustworthy, responsible, pragmatic adults around, right? Like, my biological mother didn't just put all the effort into me herself, right? Like, hell, she'd call me in the living room and park me in front of George Carlin and let me hear some of that comedic philosophy. I had elementary school teachers, like Mrs. Columbo, that pushed me forward as a creative writer, right? Like, I probably wouldn't be writing those rhymes if somebody didn't say, you, like, look, nigga, you can write what the fuck you want. She didn't say that, but, like, that's the way it came across. That was the message I got was, nigga, you can write what the fuck you want. James and the Giant Peach, fuck it. Call it Brian and the Giant Grape. Be creative. Make up your own shit. Color outside of the motherfucking lines, right? And then, following that, like we had a teacher, Mr. Ronald Eliff, and that was the first teacher I had who, like, he's, you know, he's teaching us out of the textbook, out of the history book, or the social studies book, and he's, you know, giving us the lesson, and, getting into Christopher Columbus and that whole business, and I would actually really like if I could have had it on video, because at time you don't see it coming as a kid, and as a kid, normal is being developed in front of you, right? Like, what is normal is currently happening. So, it seems normal to me that a teacher would close the book and tell you the real shit outside of the book and let you know it's not going to be on the test because it's not the approved lesson plan. But he reached a point where he just closed that book and he was like, look, Christopher Columbus and all his guys were just a bunch of dirty pirates. They weren't actually good guys and they didn't really discover America. Obviously, people were already here. Right? Like, and that is a good, pragmatic, trustworthy, honest adult that kids need to have. Kids need good adults. Right? Like, as a teenager in the old neighborhood, like some of those OG Crips, were just good adults to have around, right? Like, it was an OG Crip that was like, yo, don't go getting into no motherfucking goofy ass fight and end up going to jail over no bullshit. Just do your motherfucking schoolwork, little homie. Take your ass to church. Pray about some shit. You know, it was the OG homies from the hood that, like, some of them niggas started getting out of the penitentiary and they started, like, landscaping and shit, just right out the pocket, just figuring it out, mowing lawns around the neighborhood and whatnot, planting flowers and shit here and there. And we get our fucking our progress reports and you get $20 for every single A on there. Like, good adults encouraging the young people to move forward. I wasn't biologically connected to any of these niggas. I barely know any of their fucking names. Right? Like, but they were just good adults. Young people need good older people around. Doesn't have to be this nuclear family, right? This motherfucker. Look at all the fucked up people that come from the nuclear family, right? Fucking Dylann Roof came from the nuclear family. That's fucking bullshit. Like, it's just what, it also just falls under the propaganda. Right. Like, and the propaganda can be inadvertent, like, because the people who create the propaganda, that's the conventional wisdom, the general consensus to them. Like, they go into thinking like this is normal. Right. Like, you turn on the entertainment and you just want to be amused. Right. You want to laugh at a funny. So you're like, all right, let me turn on The Simpsons, where you see the nuclear family or the Family Guy. Like, everything is like, just show me the neighborhood. Like, let me see a sitcom where it's all outdoors, not a single scene is indoors, and you never really see anybody just specifically only interacting with or predominantly interacting with the nuclear family. Just show folks interacting with each other. Show me humans interacting with other humans, and they don't have to be biologically connected. All right? Some folks think I turned out half decent. Well, drop your conventional wisdom. Like, if you've been hearing me or interacted with me in the social networks or heard me on any podcast or, you know, like another person I did a program with was Nocturnus Libertus on her station. And, well, first off, I didn't get ass whoopings, you know, I got timeouts. And I was raised by a lot of different people and the culture around me. Right? Not just my biological mother. And my biological mother didn't really have that much of a chance, but even at the same time, she had other adults around that were also putting input in. Like the way I am domestically is because of a person named Walter E. Torres. And then at the same time, I wouldn't, like, I treat my home the way I see Walter E. Torres treat his home, but also I would never treat a child. Like if I had a biological child or a stepchild, I would never treat that child the way Walter E. Torres treated his child, because he beat the fucking shit out of his child. So it's like I took something from him and then I let some shit go. Right? Not the best adult, but a good person to learn some home practices from, how to treat your house that you live in. Another person, Teresa Smith, is somebody who I copy some of her style for keeping a home. Like, if you don't have a place to rest and you come to rest at my place, boom, there's an extra blanket for you. There is an unopened toothbrush and an unopened toothpaste and an unopened bar of soap for you, ready to go. Bam. And I got that shit from Teresa Smith. Just different adults. So nah, fuck that. Somebody starts talking that nuclear family shit, just run down the list of fucked up people that come from the nuclear family. Shit. Alright, so more conclusions, right? Jumping to conclusions. Alright, let's go ahead. Let's dance it forward a little bit more.
That mean old Negro man stole my yogurt.
Yeah.
William Jackson calls me the N-word in front of my mother.
That's right.
I was never encouraged to trip. My vertical pitch is urban. Extensive shit like word in my click. I'm sniffing rubber cement in the convertible bent with the burgundy blunt wrap. The herbal that's dense, the purple I pinch, has me focused, working defense. Serving up pictures of pain as my perfect abyss. Lately I'm known for stirring up shit with dirt that I kick in the eyes of the haters with the murderous hits. I was serving up quick, swerving I dip. How many months I held the club down? You heard it was six. True executive on them Lutheran University kids. Two consecutive foolish wins cause I was verbally sick. I never lost my cool, you never heard me get bent. Cause I seen it all before, you kicked that nursery shit. While I'm hanging off a canyon by a mercury cliff, drop hot shit, turn and take a third degree piss. Yeah, buddy, I tell you what, I tell you smooth the fuck what. Yeah, and this is, a conclusion that I already arrived at, but like right before I started recording this, I finally sat down and watched that movie Wall Street with Michael Douglas. That one where he's like, I'm gonna come down there and eat your lunch for you. You know, that whole shit. And also, I had one of those moments again, right? It's 2016, and I had that moment again where I'm like, is that Charlie Sheen or Ray Liotta? Like, I don't know why it's always that with me. It's always, is that Charlie Sheen or Ray Liotta? I don't fucking know. And like a conclusion that I already arrived at, and that movie just had some lines and micro monologues and whatnot in there that just, where they were just laying it the fuck out, man. Where it's, and this is, this conclusion is a disagreement with, that feller, Jay Tomlinson of the Best of the Left program, where it's like, I don't think capitalism is amoral, right? I don't think capitalism is without morals. I don't think corporations are without morals. I think they're immoral. I think they're inherently and intentionally oppressive. I think they are a very bad thing for our species, and the human beings behind these organizations know that shit. All right? That's why they don't want their names up front. Like, we're always talking about, like, the corporation got sued, the company got sued. Name names. You know, Bob, Dave, Jim, fucking Jack. Like, who are the fucking people? Fucking Ethan. Go sue Ethan specifically. Put Ethan in a fucking cage instead of some kid that was smoking a reefer doobie. All right? Like, these people are fucked up, man. Hell, man. Like, I should really rip some audio from that fucking film. Because that character that Michael Douglas played, Gordon Gekko, was very honest about it. It's like, I create nothing. That's the ownership class. And really, as a species, we don't need to create that much. We can just make shit out of what already exists, which is, and that shit is shelter, some tools, and weapons for maybe hunting big game, right? You need a bow and arrow, right? A bow. It's about what, a bow, a spear? Not a lot of shit you got. We don't need fucking guns. Guns are not a need. Guns are a want. Guns are a want by brutal and obnoxious people. Alright, you don't need that much to take out something that you gotta hunt and get a good amount of meat for to feed your village, to feed your tribe, to feed your nuclear family. Alright, so and then like as far as like making food, we don't need to make a lot of food. Like we could take some shit and put together a little recipe what we want, but food already grows out of the fucking ground, people. Alright? And this is and we'll kind of tie these two together, and this will end the first half of the Jumping to Conclusions episode. All right, we don't need any more of these studies, all right? Like, because I real like, in my adulthood, like, as I went from reading paper newspapers to, like, reading more internet news, I would constantly, like, it's like every 6 months, you get another study of what just eating some broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, Brussels sprouts, you know, just whatever vegetables, there's always another study of the benefits of eating broccoli, a new benefit that was found by the science team at Stanford, a new benefit to eating carrots was found by this science team at Harvard, a new benefit to eating Brussels sprouts was found by this science team at the University of Fucka-Fucky-Flicky-Flaggle. Like, fucking, we get it. You're supposed to eat vegetables. They evolved from the same planet we evolved from. We should probably consume them. We're a part of the same sort of organic sphere, and we can feed off of each other. We eat them, we die, we enrich the soil, they eat us, we eat them, we die. God damn, it seems to work out kind of fucking fine over here, okay? Like, we don't need that shit, right? We don't need fucking, what, macaroni and fucking cheese. I know, I like macaroni and fucking cheese, right? I like to have it with a steak. I like to have it by the lake. I like to have it with any type of meal that a motherfucker could make, right? You get this Dr. Seuss straps. Pull yourself up by your own Dr. Seuss straps, right? But but you don't have to have that shit. Walk up to a fucking tree, grab an apple off the motherfucker, and eat the shit. There's fucking coconuts, pears, pineapples, fucking berries, also cantaloupes and shit, fucking watermelons. Like, we don't actually have to make all this shit. Like, manufacturing is a goddamn joke. All right? Capitalism, do you know what it creates more so than anything? Just an ownership class. Creates two things, an ownership class and a laboring class. Two things that don't need to exist. Fuck the ownership class. And let's tangent in between it. Like, what's the function of police? Just to protect the ownership class from the laboring class? That's it. All right? People of the laboring class become a danger to each other? Then the ownership class can find it logical to assume that, well, if they'll do that to each other, what will they do when they find out that we've been fucking scamming them for the past fucking millennia? For the past five centuries on this continent? Right, for the past fucking eight centuries over there. What are they going to do to us if that's what they do to each other? When all the people finally come together and say, hold the fuck up. All of us McMillions of fucking people are breaking our fucking backs, dying early, dying miserably, dying in fucking pain, suffering, injured on the job. For these few motherfuckers at the top, fuck them. Get the torches and pitchforks. That's what the cops are for, to cage us up before we come together against the ownership. Cops aren't here to serve and protect your ass. And if you haven't been watching videos on the World Wide Web nets of the past couple years, you better catch up. All right. So that's that'll be the first half of the first episode of the Mean Old Negro Man program. Now, what I was mentioning at the top of it, where I was like, I like this much better, right, where I had the reverb on it, you know, is that I like hardcore rap a lot better, right? Just a reminder of that. I just like it so much better. I mean, I wouldn't apply the word problematic to it. I'd say it's fucked up. Like, some of these guys, a lot of these guys, they say shit that's just straight up fucked up. And I know why a lot of folks don't like it, because when they say that fucked up shit, they're holding up a mirror. All right, these guys that grew up from these nuclear families in these communities, in these cities, in these states, in this great nation, they didn't just pop into existence the moment they wrote that rhyme. They developed from the society that they're in. All right, and people don't like hearing or seeing the fucked up rapper and the fucked up lyrics, because it's a reminder that everything is fucked up. All right, so let's fuck it up some more and move into the second half of the first episode of Mean Old Negro Man.
What the hell do you want?
I just found out about the garage sale down at Blue Star. Why?
Last night I was reading Rudy the story of Winnie the Pooh and the Honey Pot. You know what happened? Stuck his nose in the pot once too often, and he got stuck.
Maybe you ought to read him Pinocchio, Gordon. I thought that you were going to turn Blue Star around, not upside down. You fucking used me.
Well, you're walking around blind without a cane, pal. A fool and his money are lucky enough to get together in the first place.
But why do you need to wreck this company?
Because it's wreckable, all right? I took another look at it and I changed my mind.
If these people lose their jobs, they got nowhere to go. My father has worked there for 24 years. I gave him my word.
It's all about bucks, kid. The rest is conversation. Hey, buddy, you're still going to be president, all right? And when the time comes, you're going to parachute out a rich man. With the money you're going to make, your dad's never going to have to work another day in his life.
So tell me, Gordon, when does it all end, huh? How many yachts can you water ski behind? How much is enough?
It's not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses. Money itself isn't lost or made, it's simply transferred from one perception to another. Like magic. This painting here, I bought it 10 years ago for $60,000. I could sell it today for $600. The illusion has become real. And the more real it becomes, the more desperate they want it. Capitalism at its finest.
How much is enough for it?
Richest 1% of this country owns half our country's wealth, $5 trillion. One-third of that comes from hard work, two-thirds comes from inheritance, interest on interest accumulating to widows and idiot sons. And what I do, stock and real estate speculation. It's bullshit. You got 90% of the American public out there with little or no net worth. I create nothing. I own. We make the rules, pal. The news, war, peace, famine, upheaval, the price of a paperclip. We pick that rabbit out of the hat while everybody sits out there wondering how the hell we did it. Now, you're not naive enough to think we're living in a democracy, are you, buddy? It's the free market. And you're part of it. Yeah. You got that killer instinct. Stick around, pal. I still got a lot to teach you.
Obviously.
Oh, buddy, come on. Look, I was going to tell you about it, all right? Calm down, all right? We'll go up to the apartment tonight, have a little dinner. You bring Darian.
No, I can't. I can't make it tonight.
Please. Hey, buddy. Are you with me? I need to know if you're with me.
Sign up at a $5 a month level. That's like some gold membership. Dope. I'm going to use that in my vocabulary now. I'm going to go around to people and be like, you're so dope. Thank you to our subscribers. We think you're investors. We appreciate your investment. We're glad you like black people. So do we.
The Mean Old Negro Man program, second half with Madison Page. Folks have heard me say Madison Loco. And folks that listen to The Wine Cellar, you've heard her voice on the commercial that we've been playing in the recent weeks. And now here is Madison Page right here. And you've got Bold Blue Magazine, Bold Blue Media. Are you also Go Left America? Are those folks you're affiliated with?
Yeah, it's all one thing. Bold Blue Media. Bold Blue Magazine is actually our official publication. Bold Blue Magazine is a publication that people can subscribe to that allows us to help state and local candidates run strong campaigns. Go Left America is our citizen activism division. You know, so activism and political power are two sides of the same coin. If you have people in a community that are, you know, advocating for certain issues that are important to them, elected officials have no emphasis to do the will of the people if they don't have a credible threat of being replaced by someone who will. So at Bold Blue Media, we make it possible for regular, everyday people who have a passion to run for office and want to do the will of the people, make it possible for them to run strong, credible campaigns wherever they are in the country, at the state or local level. And our Go Left America is our citizen activism division, which enables and empowers citizens in their community, just regular, everyday people, to use their collective power to get what they want. So it's really two sides of the same coin. Go Left America is relatively new. We've only been around for a year, but we have so far been amazingly successful. We actually filed a Title VI complaint against on behalf of the citizens of Detroit for what the governor has done to the students in the schools in that district, which primarily affects minority students and poor students. Has had a horrible impact on the people in Detroit. We filed that Title VI complaint with the Department of Justice, and it launched an investigation. It's currently, the Department of Justice has been sniffing around there now for almost 9 months since we filed. We're working very closely with Department of Justice lawyers there to really pressure the governor to change his entire game. And he is actually, for the first time, on the run. And it was actually our Title VI complaint that actually, and all of the federal investigation that came after it, that actually helped this Flint water issue to really blow up as well. Because that there were activists on the ground working on that for so long, and not getting a lot of attention. But once the Department of Justice came in after our Title VI complaint on behalf of the residents of Detroit, they noticed what was going on in Flint and gave us an extra voice. So we're all about, at Bold Blue Media, we're all about empowering people in their communities and giving people the means to acquire political power so that we can actually create progress.
Did you know anybody, or are you involved with anyone that may have had any involvement with the Freedom of Information Act request that went to Rick Snyder and this emergency manager?
Right. Yes. So we've been working with all types of activists on the ground. One thing we don't do at Go Left America is come in and just start dictating what should go on. We believe that the people know what the issues are. They know what's going on in their own communities. What we try to do is assist them and give them as much support as we possibly can. In the case of Detroit and the emergency manager, there was so much citizen pushback against it, and it wasn't going anywhere. So when we got there, one of the things that we talked about with people on the ground was, you know, this is actually unconstitutional and it's actually discriminatory. We have a separate but equal system right now here. We have had massive degeneration of the community because of the fact that the schools have been closed down. The school board has no power. They've been stripped of all the power. These are people who were elected by people in Detroit, but they have no power because the emergency manager that was installed by the governor is the one who makes all the decisions. And so we said, you know what? This is illegal and it should be investigated. And we started the process of actually doing an investigation. We asked people to submit their stories, and the stories that we got, some of them were heartbreaking, terrible, terrible stories. We collected stories. We did over 2,000 hours of research, and we collected story after story. Over 450 people shared their stories about their children being assaulted and raped on the way to schools because their schools in their community have been shut down. Stories about people's having to contend with gang gangs and having to go through gang infested territory into new school districts and new areas where there's a lot of problems that and here are new people coming in. We had stories about people's property being completely losing value and all sorts of horrible things that have happened as a result of this emergency management. We put all of that together in our Title VI complaint. We actually had, and we enumerated it, we actually quantified how many millions of dollars this emergency management scheme has actually cost. And we had that looked over and certified by accountants and CPAs. And we submitted that as part of our time. There's actually been over $400 million, almost a half a billion dollars in actual quantifiable damages to the people of Detroit, to individual homeowners in Detroit, and to the people who live there. And that does not include what is going on with the Flint water crisis, which is a whole nother level of evil.
Jesus Christ. How long do you think this this process is going to take? Like, not like to be finished, but like to get like to another step.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, I feel really, really encouraged by the fact that the water crisis has really captured the attention of the nation. We got some attention when it came to the Title VI complaint, and thankfully the lawyers at the Department of Justice paid attention to what we submitted, and they decided to launch, and there's now 20 investigations going on independently, federal investigations happening in Detroit as a result of our Title VI complaint. But the Flint water crisis has really amplified the damaging aspects of Governor Snyder's leadership or failure of leadership, and the implications and the things that happen when people remove democracy from the equation. I mean, this is not, the people knew what was going on with the water. The people knew this is, but he has literally come in and established what I call a dictatorship. And he has stripped people of their, when they go to vote, they're not voting for, regardless of who's there, there's this emergency manager. And that person is answerable only to the governor. And the governor has, obviously, as you can see in the Flint water crisis, governor cared more about saving $12 million than he did about whether or not there was lead in the water. So how long this will take, I don't know. I'm very encouraged by the fact that we're getting a lot more. It's getting heated up, and there's fire under their feet. A few months ago, things were starting to heat up with regard to the Title VI complaint, the 20 investigations that are happening in the state. A lot of momentum was being built, and the governor actually conceded on a few points that the citizens demanded, and we considered that a huge victory, and we had other demands that we wanted to make. So we're, you know, it's a process. I think that now that we have such scrutiny, and we've had celebrities like Cher and Michael Moore and all of these people that are actually coming out and going and saying this guy has to be arrested, he has to be replaced, we have to get him out, this is negligence of the highest order with this lead, I think that we may see things move along more quickly than they might otherwise move on. And that is really good. And it just goes to show that when people are able to amplify their voice and work together and speak with one voice, how powerful we can be. And when we can use all of the tools at our disposal, how powerful we can be. That's what's going on right now.
When I was riffing, I just threw out August, right? I'm probably going to need to hit you up like toward the end of February, and which ironically, like, and I already have it down on my calendar, like when I get to February, by January 25th, I have it down right now on my little dry erase calendar because recycle, reuse, and it's I want to do Black Future Month, right? Because my thing is I can talk about Black history whenever I want to all year. I don't have to follow some arbitrary rule of when Black history is talked about. So I'm intentionally using Black Future Month for February. And this is Black Future. This is pushing forward right here. So I will need to bring you back in February.
Okay.
Now, I had just went in the social networks, and that's one of those things I do because you know how algorithms go with the news feeds. They want you to see stuff that will feed into popular culture and consumerism. So I actually just go in the search bar and I type in Asia B. I type in Madison Page. Like I just type in your names and go straight to your page so that Facebook won't just like bury you in the algorithms. And I look on your page and I see a serious adult making a serious adult post. And again, like this is also the year of social justice for adults. Like we're gonna have grown up conversations about justice, and had to use that unfollow button. And I like that because I like to keep folks on the friends list because I think we can still be connected. We can still have an adult conversation later. But I need to unfollow you because I don't need nonsense in my news feed. Right. Now, what was going on there? Like folks are not having serious discussions around Bernie and Hillary, are they?
Yeah, you know, it was really weird, and I'm gonna share with you what I saw, because I actually saved it because I suspect that this person with whom I've had many interactions will probably at some point approach me and say, you know, what happened? Why aren't you? You know, why? What's going on? Because I actually ended up unfriending her, because I find it very difficult to interact with people who I don't respect. So, but this is the post that this young woman, she's not young actually, but here's the post that she posted. Holier than thou, Senator Hypocrite, and wife number three under scrutiny for funneling funds to family members and friends. Now, this was an article written about Bernie Sanders. And the headline of the article said, you know, Democratic candidate Bernie Sanders and wife sent money to some questionable whatever. Okay, so I read that and her status update, holier than thou, Senator Hypocrite, and wife number three under scrutiny for funneling funds to family members and friends. So much wrong with that. And I don't care who you support. I don't care who you support. That is over the top. First of all, we're not here to criticize how many wives, how many times someone's been married. What kind of shit is that?
Yeah,
and then to say that he's a hypocrite. I don't know where you're getting that from. And I just sat back and I thought, you know, this kind of foolishness is not something that I want to see on my timeline. We have an enemy in this country. There's a lot of enemies, but at the end of the day, that enemy is really personified in terms of electoral politics on the Republican side, where we have folks who are running and actually who are doing very well, pushing xenophobia, pushing anti-racial hatred, racial hatreds, pushing all kinds of LGBT hatred, isolationism, and every kind of ugly, unimaginably destructive mindset and worldview possible is being pushed by this other side unapologetically. And I think that those of us on the left, I don't care if you're a Bernie supporter or a Hillary supporter or a O'Malley supporter, those of us on the left have a responsibility to be mature and to be sober and to be focused on what really matters. We do not have the luxury of this type of disgusting rhetoric on our own side. I have my own preference of candidate, but it doesn't matter. If we want to create progress in America, we need to be focused and clear on where our best opportunities for progress lie. And to tear down each other's candidate, for a Hillary supporter to tear down Bernie Sanders, or for a Bernie Sanders candidate to tear down Hillary Clinton, is absolutely antithetical to what we need to be focusing on for progress. And I just can't have it. So I had to unfriend old girl. And in fact, I first unfollowed her and then I changed my mind and said I'm gonna have to unfriend. And I really didn't want to do that because I felt like at some point we could work in the future. But you know, I've I've been watching her post this type of thing for a few months now, and I've just finally decided that this is not a level of vibration that I want to be affiliated with.
Yeah, it's like as a guy that actually comes from hip hop culture, and I'm actually a contributor to the culture. I built my little name up, and then also transfer that over to podcasting by just saying what I think and telling you why I think my idea is good. And then after you build up a following of folks that are like, I agree with this guy. And then every once in a while you point over to someone else and you're like, you know what? And I disagree with their idea. And then actually pull out things they actually say and say, I disagree with this, that, and the other thing. But then still, we're still under the umbrella of the left. Folks that are already familiar with me, I've leveled my critiques at more so Bernie Sanders fans than Bernie Sanders, but then also some at Bernie Sanders. He's got some stuff under the vote, in 08, he voted to deregulate derivatives, but I don't say, and that's why he's horrible, and then, throw in a little anti-Semitism to boot. Why not? Toss that in there as well. Do that, because at the end of the day, it's like, if Hillary's the nominee, then I gotta hold my nose in Hillary, and I'm in Florida, so for the 8 hours that I have to stand in line to vote, because thanks to the Koch brothers, Governor Rick Scott, I'll have to, but that 8 hours will end, and then it's back to the podcast and the free market of ideas, and it's back to the streets if you're in the streets, and it's back to local politics. The school board affects your children immediately. The city council affects some adults and teenagers and the children. The state senate is going to affect everybody. And if you look at it, it's as far as who has power across the field, it's red. And we're a red nation because they have put forward, a lot of people say 30 years. I would look way back to what was it, George Wallace, was that his name? The segregation now, tomorrow, forever guy. Right. So we're actually about 5 to 6 decades of them really putting in a hardcore strategy to take over. And that's why we are the only nation on the planet where a whole bunch of suit and tie professionals of a political party say climate change isn't real. And, hurricanes are caused by gay people. This is the only nation with that nonsense.
Right, exactly. And that's why it's so critical that we be able to be the adults, because we are swimming in a pool of people who are not adult. And a lot of them actually legitimately have some problems, and they're being preyed upon by a propaganda engine that is nonstop, that taps into their fears and their hatred and all of these other things. It takes advantage of it, and then they go out and they sort of act on that thing. If we can't hold it together on the left, we're doomed, because we've got 50% of the country out here, a little bit less than 50% of the country out here, running around in a panic about things that are not even real. And if we can't figure out a way to not fight each other and beat each other up, and it doesn't mean we can't disagree on things, but my goodness, that type of post where you're literally demonizing someone who, I may or may not like Bernie Sanders as an individual, doesn't matter. He's not a terrible, he's not an evil person. He's a sincere person. He believes in what he is saying, and it doesn't make sense for me to try to draw him as evil incarnate. And it's the same with Hillary. I see people trying to draw her as the most evil thing that could possibly ever happen to America. And look, if we can't figure out a way on the left to remain sane, then we're going to be a complete nation that resembles an insane asylum, because we already got half the people in the country that literally should probably be committed.
Yeah. And I don't intend to fear monger, but those people that you said that are just running around belligerent, ignorant, and probably don't have all the marbles rolling in the right direction, those are also the people that have the most guns. Remember Black Friday, what was it, 190,000 guns sold for Black Friday? That's ridiculous. And we all know who bought them. It wasn't me. And it's not like I'm against guns. It's reached a point where it's not even like the propaganda got to me, but it's like I'm gonna have to defend myself against someone who thinks they have to defend themselves. Like, too many weirdos have them. And like, I now it's like a requirement. I've got to get one. Like, my fiance just recently picked out which type she wants. She said it's going to be about $600. I'm like, well, we can do a GoFundMe for that. Let's get a couple guns. We're going to have to get them. And we're going to have to go down to a range and practice because weirdos.
Right. Exactly. So this is where we are. And I think that we have some tremendous potential to really move things forward in this country. I think any of our Democratic candidates has the ability to do that. I really do believe that. I think they each have the ability to do that, but they each have an ability in different ways to do it. Okay, so Bernie Sanders may be able to create progress, but the way he creates it would be different than the way Hillary would create it, I think, and the way O'Malley would create it, I think. But they all have the ability to create this form of progress that we need, and it's going to be incremental. It's not going to be automatic. And I think that they're all incredibly important, incredibly powerful candidates. I've said this before on my Facebook page. I think that we should be on the left very happy that we have a no-lose primary. I don't believe that any one of our people represents a loss for us. I don't believe that. Now, I know a lot of folks say, oh, you know, Bernie can't win or Hillary can't win or whatever, this and that. But I think that any one of our candidates will have a very... There's reasons for this. This is actually borne out by data and statistics. Any Democratic candidate is probably going to have, it's going to have a bit of an edge just because of the way the Electoral College is set up. But any one of them is going to be able to take progressive policies and move them forward in some way. Whether or not it's legislative or whether or not it's by moving a narrative forward, by inspiring people and changing minds so that the people actually demand progress. Those are two different things. And I think the style of Bernie Sanders and the style of Hillary Clinton are very different. But I think that either one of them would be able to push things forward. Whether I think Hillary's tendency is more legislative, I think she knows what she can do legislatively. I think she knows how to play the legislative game, particularly in a hostile Congress. And I think that she has some components that will make that. I think that there's things that she brings to the table that will make moving things along legislatively much more likely than they would if Bernie were to do them. Now, Bernie's strength is that he would move things along in terms of pushing an idea, really getting out there and change people's minds so that the people themselves are the ones that are saying, this is what we want now. And I think both of those things can be very powerful. And so maybe it's because I really have deep respect for both of them. And I like O'Malley too, don't get me wrong, but
yeah, he's Spinderella though. He is Spinderella. Yeah, like it's salt and pepper, and then there's DJ Spinderella over there.
Right. So maybe it's because I really like the both of them. I like Hillary, I like Bernie for different reasons and different ways. But I have a difficult time with people who are so hardcore about one or the other. And it seems to me, I guess, it just seems to me to be, you know, I think humans, we're always looking for a savior, aren't we? And we're so prone to elevating people to a savior level, like to some kind of status where they're like, this is the savior we've all been waiting for. And I just don't buy into that. I think it's immature and naive. And I think that we have to look at things soberly and say, okay, you know, this person has good things about them and they have bad things about them, and that's okay.
Yeah, like I think the thing to and let this be, and I haven't really narrowed this down to like a platitude or a talking point or a bumper sticker yet, but we got too many adults that are repeating the process of finding out that Santa Claus doesn't exist. Be it politicians or celebrities, they're just constantly finding out that, oh shit, they're a person. It's like Bernie, like you mentioned earlier, Bernie Sanders married three times. He's a 73-year-old progressive. He's not going to stay in a horrible relationship. It's like the comedian Louis C.K. said, the best part of a bad marriage is the divorce. Divorce is not bad news. That's two people that were unhappy and left each other, and now it's awesome.
Right. I mean, this is that a liberal would actually have anything negative to say because someone chose to get a divorce and remarry is just breathtaking to me.
Yeah,
I mean, I would expect that from Republicans. I respect that from conservatives. You know, divorce is wrong. It's against God or whatever. But I mean, on the liberal side, were you supposed to stay in a relationship that's not working for you just because? Why?
And it's wrong unless you're Newt Gingrich, then it's okay. You know, while she's on her deathbed, whatever you got to do in the parking lot of the kids' elementary school. Hey, you're the Newt, baby. You're the big Newt.
Right.
In another area that you had me thinking, because you were mentioning the children. You're talking about folks in Michigan, and a lot of what we're doing, this is sacrifice. The effort is sacrifice because I'm not gonna see the results of this effort. It's like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all those folks, like Assata Shakur, like, you know, like she's like way off somewhere. Like she can't just walk down the old school city block. She has to be posted up in Cuba now. But like they made a sacrifice so that I could walk down the block with my head a little higher. So it's like the stuff that we're doing is for folks that aren't even born yet or are very small infants right now. Like this isn't for us. Like I'm in my 30s. I'm out of here in about two or three decades. You know, I'm almost done with this whole life thing. So all the effort I put forward are for little, you know, little transgender kids and little gay and non-binary kids now, you know, as far as like my effort in the free market of ideas, or for little environmentalists now that would like some clean water, that don't have a company with a name like Freedom Industries spilling coal ash in the water because freedom and industry. Yeah, like that's what I do that for now. Like I could be selfish, and I don't think I'm amazing or anything. I like podcasting. I like writing raps. But, you know, it's like we could just not put in the effort and just go be capitalists. Like you. Like, with all your know-how, you could just go be corporate Madison and look at some kid and be like, fuck you. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, kid. Figure it out. You know, but instead, you're doing something for the people so that when you take your last breath, you can smile.
Absolutely. That's what it's about. And I think I posted something like that on my Facebook page yesterday or the day before. And I said, you know, we have to make choices. We have only two choices in this life. And that is to fight or to give up.
Yeah.
At any point, those are the only two choices. Those are the only two choices. And whether or not to fight should not be predicated upon whether or not you will see the results in your lifetime. Because at some point, you know, life is going to go on. The question is, what do you want to be? What do you envision for 200 years from now? What do you envision 100 years from now? If you're not alive, what do you want to see? So get started. If you don't start, it's not going to happen. So you can fight, or you can be overwhelmed by the enormity of all the challenges that we face, or you can just fight. And I like to say that I come from a legacy of fighters. And because there's a bunch of folks who could have just said, you know, I can't be bothered. This is bullshit. You know, this slavery shit is bullshit. Or, you know, this segregation shit is bullshit, and this, you know, not being able to sit where I want on a bus and have a water fountain is, but could any of those people could have been like, you know what, fuck it. But they didn't. They decided to fight, and a lot of them never saw the end result. And we are still not in an end result. We've only really been considered equal in American society for about 50 years. So we're really first generation.
Right. And that's just on paper, right? That's not in their ideas and in their practice. Right. Like, we just had the guy, is his name Paul LePage? Did you see that video clip yet? Yeah. It was they got names like D Money and Shifty and Smoothie, and they're impregnating white girls. And it's like, so it's still in his, no matter what they wrote down on paper, it's still in his head.
Sure, it's still there. And part of the reason is because it's only been about 50 years. I mean, it's really only been 50 years since it was put on paper. Okay, you got to treat these people equally. And there's a lot of folks that didn't like it then, and they still don't like it now. So we're only about 50 years out. I like to compare it to, and the comparisons aren't complete, but I like to compare it to, for example, when the Irish came to America in the mid-1800s. And, you know, 50 years after, there was a lot of discrimination against them, right? And 50 years after they got here, they still were not fully accepted in America. Okay, they came here, and they didn't have the legacy that we have. They didn't have the awful, terrible legacy that we have, and they have the benefit of being able to blend in and not be instantly segregated as a result of the color of their skin. And even they took more than 50 years before they became... I mean, when John Kennedy was running for president, people didn't like him because he was Irish and Catholic. That was 100 years after most Irish Catholics came from Ireland. And there was still a horrible, horrible stigma about Irish people and Catholic people. So we are... I like sometimes when things feel overwhelming, I like to get a bird's eye view, because I think it can be really helpful. You know, when you're in the middle of evolution, you don't know you don't realize that you're in it. So sometimes you just got to like go up 30,000 feet and take a look. And we've only been, I'm 48. I am the first generation of people who grew up in a country that never was legally segregated. Mm-hmm. Think about that. I'm 48, and I am the first generation of people. I remember when I was 5 years old in kindergarten, in the middle of my kindergarten year, it's 1972, they took half of my street, my side of the street, and they bussed us out to school in a predominantly white neighborhood. And, you know, I don't have any problem with it. I think it was a good experience. I think it was a good experience for me. It was a good experience for the kids, for the white kids, for the black kids. We all got along wonderfully. And this was in kindergarten. I'm 48 years old, and I am the first generation of people who grew up in a country where segregation was not legal. This is so, so, so new. It's so new. And when you compare it to other people who came here and experienced discrimination and don't have to deal with the legacy of slavery, didn't have to deal with the physical differences between mainstream white America and themselves, even they took more than 50 years to fully integrate and to undo the negative stereotypes and the negativity that was directed toward them as people. So this is not going to be something that's going to happen right away. It's a process. And as long as we keep fighting, as long as we recognize it and keep moving the process along, I think we'll get there. We'll get there. But I mean, for people to expect, I hear people sometimes say, oh, you know, this was all a mistake. We should have done this and that. No, man, it's only been 50 years. It's only been 50 years. And I get it. I understand the frustration, but not even Irish people were able to fully integrate and begin to build generational wealth and begin to, you know, and they didn't have all of the things that were stacked against them in quite the way that we do. It's going to take time, and it's going to take people to persevere, and it's going to take time. But I believe we can get there.
Yeah, and there's still that self-segregating. Like, there's still folks that know, like, you go to some places in the Northeast that this is the Irish neighborhood, this is the Italian neighborhood, this is the Polish neighborhood, and we don't cross our imaginary borders very often.
Right.
Like, so that, even that is still going on. And then, like, we still have, I want to be apprehensive about the word propaganda, because it's not, I think it's normalized. Like, when you turn on the program and people want to see what the... Now, maybe I'm behind on the times. Are the kids still watching the Jersey Shore? I don't know. But, like, they want to see their stereotype Italian. I think comedian Sebastian Maniscalco intentionally capitalizes on that. He knows that people want to... They want to hear him, you know, talk really Italian about Sanka. You know, like, and people are playing that stuff up. So we still have kids coming up seeing that. And I just covered a story on the News and Comment program. A 14-year-old native girl went up to argue against the school mascot being called the Redskin because of them talking, like, when they were genociding the native folks, they were saying, you know, scalp them and bring us the Redskins. And she got, and adults yelled at this little 14-year-old girl, called her a squaw. I didn't even know that was a slur against native folks. Yeah, so, like, even that shit's still going on. And then you probably tune into Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was tuned in a couple weeks ago when they were doing the that climate business in Paris, which, being the little environmentalist I am, of course I'm displeased with that, right? I'm not satisfied. I'm never satisfied. But like, she interviewed somebody there, and, like, I guess, you know, boom and bust economies, where and one of them that they're having is the fracking. And so they create 11,000 jobs, and then they move in 10,000 predominantly white males who come in for the boom side of that economy to work in this frack town. And then, but this is an area, like, where a whole bunch of native folks have been forced to be by the Europeans, and they begin just raping these native women. And then you think back to when Eric Cantor wanted to keep native women out of the Violence Against Women Act.
Right.
Yeah, like, there's a long way to go, because, like, folks are still intentionally trying to legislate in the discrimination. All right, let's see. I think this was dope. But what else? Are we missing anything?
I don't know.
this is Madison Page. You should go on the Facebooks and find the Madison Page. And Page has an I in it. There's an I after the A in the Madison Page. So go find that. Click like on it. And if you don't soon, and you're on my friends list, I'm just going to invite you to later. So anyway, you're going to get that page in your newsfeed. And if you, I know that you have your own blog page, right? Like, your own website blog page.
I do. And it's sort of in its infancy, my own personal page. It's madisonpage.me. And people can go there, and I'll be keeping it updated. I'll probably be putting some of the recordings from any of the live shows that we do. I'll probably put them there. And, you know, just a way to keep up with me. I'm busy, so it's a good place to go to keep up with whatever crazy thing is scattering through my mind at that moment.
All right. So, and what I'll do, this is typically a gendered misogynist term, but because of my voice and the way I tend to interact with people, I use this term about myself. I am a nag. And I will, I'll probably nag you about getting posts from your blog page onto your Facebook page, so that when we click share, we're spreading your content from your content, so that it's always linking back to you. Okay. And like that's just like you'll never see me share a Raw Story link. What I'll always do is I'll go to Raw Story, and then they always have the link to the local place where they got it, and I'll link to the local folks so that they get a click, because Raw Story, they're just aggregating, right? Like, what's that guy, T-Bog? Like, he's just an aggregator. Like, he's not actually a journalist going city to city getting all these stories.
Right.
So let's make sure that the real journalists on the ground get their gosh darn credit.
That's a good idea.
What in the holy heck darn? Why is the phone ringing? Jesus Christ. Let's see. The phone says the name of the person calling.
Call from
Of course, it's my fiance. Jesus Christ. All right, I'm going to get in trouble. All right, thank you for coming on the Mean Old Negro program. Madison Page, Go Left America, Bold Blue Magazine, and we got to get you back in February. So all sooner right. than later, you're coming all back. Right.
Thank you so much, William.
Right on. Thank you. Peace.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And now it's time to say goodbye to all you motherfuckers. All right, now remember, now we need to be able to do this full time. Like, imagine like if I have like a full day to work on Mean Old Negro Man, then it won't be some just once a week, right? If I have a full day to work on the Father Teresa's Wine Cellar program, we'll be able to get like more guests on that program, because like you got to get guests scheduled, you got to work around folks' schedules. Like, people have lives, right? Like like I was just blessed by our dear sweet Lord in heaven to be able to catch Madison Page. I'm a Christian now. I don't know if you guys knew that. I recently converted. I'm a Protestant, I don't know, Baptist, some shit like that. But yeah, I get my Jesus on now. And yeah, and I was blessed by Jesus Christ himself and the Lord and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost and all that whole business. And to be able to get Madison Page on very short notice, you know. but if you go to the Patreon, all right, there's a website, patreon.com, where we actually... It's like a real deal thing. Like, when I sign up, like, I actually fill out like tax forms, and like at the end of this year I came out just under to where I don't have to report it to the IRS, but at the end of 2016 I'm actually gonna have to like report it like a job, because it is a job, but it's a job that I actually want to do. I actually want to create content. I actually want to entertain and inform. I want to do news and comment. All right, so right now we're at $119 a month in Patreon subscribers, so we need your subscription and your friends and your family members to come and sign up for the Patreon to get us to our $200 a month goal, to where we will go ahead and open up our own Wine Cellar Entertainment or WineCellarNetwork.com. All right, and we need that. You sign up at $1 through $4 a month and you're supporting us. $5 and up, you get the exclusive content. Thanks for checking us out.